turn to Section 3.
Section 3. You will hear a talk about a study finding that a gene is linked to suicide, which is studied by a Canadian team. Hear this and answer questions 24 to 32. Now look at the questions 24 to 32 first. Now listen and answer the following questions. Canadian doctors said that they had discovered a genetic mutation which increased the chance of suicide and predicted that a test to identify those at high risk of killing themselves could be available by 2002. The results of a 10-year study by a team at the Royal Ottawa Hospital about why depressed people kill themselves are a clear sign that suicide is a largely genetic phenomenon and not related, as often thought, to weakness of character. There are enormous implications to the findings. Creation of a successful test may lead to more careful treatment of depressed patients who carry the mutation, but may raise fear that those with the marker could be discriminated against. The team found that repressed people with a mutation in the gene encoding for a serotonin 2A receptor, a message-carrying chemical linked to mood, were more than twice as likely to commit suicide than those without the mutation. However, team member Dr. Pavel Hrodina cautioned that the study's results would have to be duplicated before they could be deemed scientifically valid. The major finding in the study was that suicidal tendencies were much more frequent in depressed individuals carrying a mutation, he told Reuters. Hrodina said a suicide test could be devised within 2 years to help identify those depressed people at higher risk of killing themselves. This is a warning sign, an early marker. There might be depressed people who don't have suicidal tendencies, who wouldn't know at the time that they had the mutation. Those patients would be watched more closely than others, he said. According to the World Health Organization, suicide was the 12th leading cause of death in 1998, when 948,000 people died of self-inflicted injuries. Experts predict that cases of suicide and depression will soar over the next 20 years. Hrodina said that depressed people with suicidal tendencies almost certainly carried other genetic mutations which combined to trigger suicidal inclinations. The serotonin 2A receptor mutation was therefore a reliable sign that someone might kill themselves rather than being the only cause for suicide. The results have enormous moral implications. What would happen if companies forced their employees to take the test and then discriminated against those found to carry the mutation? Would sufferers be denied life insurance or barred from flying planes or driving school buses? That is a question which society will have to decide. The positive side of this is that there is a biological or genetic test. One can give hope that with treatment this can be handled, said Hrodina. If this is just let go and we don't encourage people to learn about it, and they are not seeking medical help to treat their symptoms of depression or suicidality, they may eventually end up losing their lives. Dr. David Bakish, a suicide specialist on the team, said tests showed that there was no reduction in the level of mutant serotonin receptor genes in patients who had been successfully treated depression. This is very meaningful. It suggests that some people may be biologically predisposed to suicidal thoughts, and that suicide, so often stigmatized, is hardly a character flaw, he said. The Ottawa researchers started by studying the brains of people who had killed themselves in Hungary, a country with one of the world's highest suicide rates. The tests showed large amounts of the mutated gene. The team then carried out a long-term study on a group of 120 depressed people in Canada. We divided the depressed patients into suicidal and non-suicidal. We found the frequency of the gene variety was significantly higher in the suicidal patients, Hrodina said. We concluded that the carriers of this particular combination in the gene were at double the risk for suicidal tendencies. Hrodina said the Royal Ottawa Hospital was now looking at whether people suffering from other mental disorders, such as schizophrenia, also carry the mutation. There is a stigma about these things. People shy away, but it will help them when they realize being suicidal is not a crazy state or something that comes out of the air and cannot be handled, but it has a biological link, Hrodina said. The team's findings will be published in the February the 7th issue of the American journal Medical Genetics. That is the end of Section 3. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4.
Section 4. In Section 4, you will hear a lecture on health issues. As you listen to the lecture, answer questions 33 through 41. First, you will have some time to look at questions 33 through 41. Now listen and answer questions 33 through 41.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our regular lecture on health issues. This series of lectures is organized by the Students' Union and is part of the union's attempt to help you, the students of this university, to stay healthy whilst coping with study and social life at the same time. So, it's a great pleasure for me to welcome back Ms. Diane Greenbaum, who is a professional dietitian and has been kind enough to give up her time in what I know is a very hectic schedule to come along and talk to us today.
Thank you very much, John. May I say it's a pleasure to be back. Now, stresses at university, being away from home and having to look after yourselves, learning your way around the campus, all contribute to making it quite hard sometimes to ensure that your diet is adequate. So today I'm going to talk about ways of making sure that you eat well while at the same time staying within your budget. If you have a well-balanced diet, then you should be getting all the vitamins that you need for normal living. However, sometimes we think we're eating the right foods, but the vitamins are escaping perhaps as a result of cooking, and anyway we're not getting the full benefits of them. Now, if you lack vitamins in any way, the solution isn't to rush off and take vitamin pills, though they can sometimes help. No, it's far better to look at your diet and how you prepare your food. So what about your vitamins? Well, the dictionary tells us there are food factors essential in small quantities to maintain life. Now, there are fat-soluble vitamins which can be stored for quite some time by the body, and there are water-soluble vitamins which are removed more rapidly from the body, and so a regular daily intake of these ones is needed. Okay. So how can you ensure that your diet contains enough of the vitamins you need? Well, first of all, you may have to establish some new eating habits. No more chips at the unit canteen, I'm afraid. Now, firstly, you must eat a variety of foods. Then you need to ensure that you eat at least 4 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. Now, you'll need to shop 2 or 3 times a week to make sure that they're fresh, and store your vegetables in the fridge or in a cool, dark place. Now, let's just refresh our memories by looking at the healthy diet pyramid, okay? Can you all see that? Good. Well, now, as you see, we've got 3 levels in our pyramid. At the top is the smallest area are the things which we really should be trying to avoid as much as possible. Things like, sugar, salt, butter, all that sort of thing. Next, on the middle of our pyramid, we find the things that we can eat in moderation, but not too much, though. And that's where we find milk, lean meat, fish, nuts, eggs, and then at the bottom of the pyramid are the things that you can eat lots of, because they're the things that are really good for you. And here we have bread, vegetables, and fruit. So don't lose sight of your healthy diet pyramid when you go shopping. This is the end of section 4. You will have half a minute to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Day 80. Instructions. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you'll have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in 4 sections. Write all your answers in the listening question booklet. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to section 1. Section 1. There will be a dialogue between Alan, a fisherman, and Jackson, a visitor. They are talking about Alan's job. Hear it carefully and answer questions 1 to 9. You will have some time to look at the following questions. Listen to it and answer the questions 1 to 9. I hope you don't get sick.
I don't think I will. I like boats and I like the oceans. Of course, I've never been on the Pacific Ocean before.
Do you like fishing?
Yes, I fish mostly in lakes and streams. I don't know much about commercial fishing, though.
I guess I don't either. We don't make much money.
I want to know about the business. First, let's talk about the boats. How big is the boat?
It's too small. I bought it in Texas. It was built for the Gulf of Mexico.
How big is it, Alan?
It's 6 feet long. That's big for the Gulf, but very small for a Pacific Ocean boat.
Why did you buy a small boat?
I wanted a boat that my sons and I could operate. I have 3 sons. They're my crew. Anyway, I used all the money I could get. I couldn't buy a bigger boat.
Is your crew all family?
Yes. Sometimes a friend of one of my sons comes along as a crew member. It's a family business.
How did you become a fisherman?
My grandfather was a fisherman. He lived in Massachusetts and fished in the Atlantic Ocean. My father hated fish. He moved out here to Washington State to get away from fishing.
How do you catch your fish?
This boat is a trawler.
What does that mean?
We catch the fish in nets. That's one of the nets over there.
Let's look at it.
See? It's cone-shaped. We put the net in the water behind the boat. The fish go in the large end. They swim into the small end and can't get out.
What happens then?
They're caught.
I mean, what happens after they're caught?
The net and the fish are pulled from the water. The fish are put in this large tank until we get back to the harbour.
What happens to your fish then?
Most of them go to the wholesalers.
Tell me about that.
Some of the special fish go to another family business. My brother's wife has a place in the fish market. She sells fish in the market, and to one of the most expensive restaurants in Seattle.
What happens to the other fish?
I sell them to the fish wholesalers. My catch isn't very big, so one wholesaler usually buys everything. He sells them to people in the market.
Tell me about the crew. I know they're your sons. Who's the boss?
I am, of course. I'm the father.
What do they do?
Everything I supervise, but we all do everything. We run the boat, repair the boat, we pull in the nets, repair the nets. It's too much for four people, but we are hard workers.
Do your boys like fishing?
Ask them. I think they love it. Come and talk to my sons, Jackson.
Thanks.
This is Todd. Todd's taking us to the fish.
Hi, Todd. Where are we going?
We're going about 100 miles northwest.
Are there fish there?
I hope so.
How far do you go on fishing trips?
Usually not far.
What do you mean by not far?
Let's say 200 miles?
We've gone much further. We go to Alaska sometimes. We almost went to Russia once.
Why do you go so far?
We can't find fish. We keep going until we find some. Let's talk to Bruce. He's working on the net.
Are you enjoying the trip, Jackson?
Yes, so far. It's a beautiful day.
Wait until it storms.
Come on, the weather's perfect. It's not going to storm.
I hope not. How long do you stay out?
2 days and 2 nights.
On a long trip, we might stay 5 days, but we can't make much money then.
Why?
We can't carry enough fish. Short trips are better.
When we catch a lot of fish.
You have a small crew. What happens when someone is missing?
Do you mean when someone is sick?
Yes, sick. Or some other problem.
Sometimes I find another crew member. Sometimes we troll.
What does that mean?
We use lines. We don't use the nets. The nets take more men.
Can you tell me about that?
We put several lines at the back of the boat. The boat pulls the lines through the water.
Each line has several hooks. One or two men can watch several lines. We catch the fish one by one.
What kind of fish do you catch?
We like to catch salmon and tuna. Sometimes we catch other fish, but they don't bring as much money.
So, salmon and tuna bring the most profit?
Yes, they're profitable. We always sell those to my sister-in-law. We keep the profit in the family.
Alan, is your brother a fisherman?
No, he's like our father. He doesn't like fish.
But what does his wife do?
She likes fish, but she doesn't go fishing.
Do you like fishing?
It's okay.
I really like the ocean. I love the water, the boat, the air. Fishing is the work that lets me be on the boat.
Ah, at last, here's Chris.
What do you mean, at last?
We're getting hungry.
Chris is the cook.
Are we having fish for lunch? Okay, let's go.
That is the end of section one. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section two.
Section two. You will listen to a talk about paper. Paper is well known to us for its wide uses. So listen and answer questions 10 through 21. You will have some time to read questions 10 through 21. Now listen and answer the following questions. Paper is one of the most important products ever invented by man. Widespread use of written language would not have been possible without some cheap and practical material to write on. The invention of paper meant that more people could be educated because more books could be printed and distributed. Together with the printing press, paper provided an extremely important way to communicate knowledge. How much paper do you use every year? Probably you cannot answer that question quickly. In 1900, the world's use of paper was about 1 kilogram for every person. Now some countries use as much as 50 kilograms of paper for each person a year. Developed countries like the United States, England, and Sweden use much more paper than other countries. Paper, like many other things that we use today, were first made in China. In Egypt and the West, paper was not very commonly used before the year 1400. The Egyptians wrote on papyrus. Europe used parchment for hundreds of years. Parchment was very strong. It was made from the skin of certain young animals. We have learned some of the most important facts of European history from records that were kept on parchment. The Chinese first made paper about 2,000 years ago. China still has pieces of paper which were made as long ago as that. But Chinese paper was not made from the wood of trees. It was made from the hair-like parts of certain plants. Paper was not made in southern Europe until about the year 1100. Scandinavia, which now makes a great deal of the world's paper, did not begin to make it until 1500. It was a German named Schaefer who found out that one could make the best paper from trees. After that, the forest countries of Canada, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and the United States became the most important in papermaking. Today in Finland, which makes the best paper in the world, the paper industry is the biggest in the land. New papermaking machines are very big, and they make paper very fast. The biggest machines can make a piece of paper 300 meters long and 6 meters wide in 1 minute. When we think of paper, we think of newspapers, books, letters, envelopes, and writing paper. But there are many other uses. Only half of the paper that is made is used for books and newspapers. Paper is very good for keeping you warm. Houses are often insulated with paper. You have perhaps seen homeless men asleep on a large number of newspapers. They are insulating themselves against the cold. In Finland, where in winter it is sometimes 40 centigrade below zero, the farmers wear paper boots in the snow. Nothing could be warmer. Each year, more and more things are made of paper. We have had paper cups, plates, and dishes for a long time. Now we hear that chairs, tables, and even beds can be made of paper. With paper boots and shoes, you can wear paper hats, paper dresses, and paper raincoats. When you have used them once, you throw them away and buy new ones. The latest in paper seems to be paper houses. They are not small houses for children to play in, but real, big houses for people to live in. You can buy a house with three chief rooms for a comparatively small amount. You can make it yourself in a few hours, and you can use it for about 5 years. People have made paper boats, but they cannot make paper airplanes or cars. Just wait, they probably will. That is the end of section 2. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3.
Section 3. You will hear a conversation between Mary and an Indian male. They are talking about a kind of Indian celebration called powwow. Hear it and answer questions 22 to 31. And first, look at the following questions. Listen to it and answer questions 22 to 31. Would you like something to eat?
Is it Native American food?
Sure, here, try this. Everybody likes it.
What is it?
It's called fried bread. It's bread fried in fat. Nowadays, the fat is cooking oil. Would you like something to drink?
What do you drink?
I like coffee. The young people all drink sodas.
I would like coffee too, thanks. The fried bread is like a donut. It's good.
Let's move over to the dancing.
Does this dance have a name? What's it called?
All the dances have names. This is a rain dance. Many Indians live in dry places, so we dance for rain.
Is it like a prayer for rain?
Yes. Some people sing the prayer, but you don't need to sing. The dancers are from different tribes and have different languages. They can all dance the rain dance.
Do they all dance the same rain dance?
No, not exactly the same. It's not necessary. The dancing is very individual. The dancers have freedom. There's no story to tell. They just dance.
The dancers have different clothing. Why?
There are different kinds of dancers. See the older people in front? They are traditional dancers. They know all the old dances. Some are from different tribes, too.
Where are powwows held now?
They're held everywhere now, from the Atlantic to the Pacific Oceans. There are more in the West because there are more Native Americans in the West.
Where do the most Indians live?
Arizona is the state with the most. Many live here in Oklahoma, too. Where are you from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
There are Native Americans in Maryland.
Can you say what powwow means to modern Indians?
The modern powwow is a celebration of being Native American. It's everything you see and hear. It's the food, the dancing, the talking. Tomorrow there'll be a parade and horse races. Do you see the little children dancing? They are learning what it means to be Indians.
What are those children doing? It looks like a class.
It is. Can you see those feathers?
Yes, what is that?
They are learning to make headdresses. The teacher is showing them how to make the headband, and then he will show them how to put on the feather.
Feathers are important in Indian culture.
Very. I'll show you some more art with feathers. Come with me.
What's that music?
It's traditional Native American flute.
It's very beautiful. Are all Indians musical?
In a way. We're not all good at singing and playing, but it's very important in our lives. The music helps remind us we are Native Americans.
See the boy who is standing over there?
The boy who's wearing the blue shirt?
Yes, what is he eating?
That's an Indian taco.
Is that typical Indian food?
We borrowed it from Mexico. I think it's powwow food. We don't eat tacos in my community.
Is there typical Native American food?
In the old days, maybe. Nowadays, we eat what everybody else eats. People in the Southeast eat different foods from the ones who live in the Northeast. Could you ask my wife later? I don't know much about food.
Could I talk to your wife about food? I like to know about food.
Are you hungry?
No, not now. What's he wearing around his neck?
Who?
The one who is eating the taco. I forgot what you call the thing he's wearing.
That's called a bolo. Many people in the West wear these.
Does it mean something? Why do they wear them?
It's for decoration. It's like the clothing for the dance. Decoration is important for celebrations.
The bolo doesn't have any meaning, does it?
The bolo is very simple. It's just a black cord around the neck, with a piece of jewelry that slides up and down. Piece of jewelry is usually silver with some stone. Some Indians think the stone should be turquoise.
Like the blue stone he's wearing?
Yes. Some people think turquoise has spiritual qualities. Look at the other people here. You'll see a lot of turquoise jewelry.
Where's that over there? Can we walk over there?
That's the trading area. Do you like arts and crafts?
I like to look at them.
Many people come to powwows to trade or shop. Some Native Americans are doing arts and crafts that were given up or forgotten. Look at these.
What are those?
What do you think?
Maybe something used for cooking?
Yeah, that's right. They're simple cooking utensils made from wood.
What's that one for?
That's for holding a pot over the fire.
What's this one?
It's a stirring stick, probably for porridge. That one's a kind of fork for holding or turning meat over the fire. Let me show you some of the clothing.
This is wonderful. What's that?
I don't know. Let's ask. What would you like to see now?
I would like to look at that. What's it?
You always look for the food, don't you? I think it's time for lunch.
What are they doing?
They're making cornmeal. Let's watch. That is the end of section 3. You will have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4.
Section 4. You will hear a talk about chocolate. It is to say that eating chocolate may help your health. Listen to it and answer questions 32 through 40. At first, you will have some time to look at questions 32 through 40. Now listen and answer the following questions. New research shows that eating chocolate may not only lift your spirits, it may also be good for your heart. Providing good news to chocoholics, researchers at a major scientific conference said that a preliminary study had shown chocolate to have a positive impact on cardiovascular health. I think the message here is that our data suggests that one should view chocolate as part of a healthy diet, Carl Keene, professor of nutrition at the University of California, Davis, told a news briefing. Keene said that his study had looked at moderate chocolate usage and that the effects of acute consumption were not known. White chocolate did not have the same apparent beneficial effects on the heart as regular chocolate did. Keene, who is to present his findings to a meeting in Washington of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, said chocolate appeared to improve blood and platelet function, which were important for general cardiovascular health. Platelets are small blood particles that play a major role in clotting. Chocolate is believed to contain a high level of flavonoids, naturally occurring plant compounds that inhibit platelet activity, boosting blood flow. Chocolate worked much like aspirin in promoting a healthy heart, the study found. Keene said, but the effects were seen as not as robust as aspirin, and so I'm not saying people should throw away their bottles of aspirin. In his preliminary study, participants were given a strong cup of cocoa, about 1 tablespoon of cocoa powder with warm water and sugar. For up to 6 hours after drinking the cocoa, platelet activity and aggregation decreased. Keene said the early study looked at about 40 people, all of them healthy adults between 25 and 45. Men and women responded the same way. Another study by Cesar Faga of the University of Buenos Aires examined the antioxidant effects of naturally occurring compounds in chocolates known as procyanidins. Participants in the study munched semi-sweet chocolate baking bits. The researchers found that chocolate led to a rise in absorption of some of the proximidants, as well as an increase in blood antioxidant capacity, which could help slow the progression of the heart disease. Using chocolate as a medicine is not a new concept, researcher Lua Gravetti said. The popular comfort food was first used by ancient, colonial, and early modern physicians to restore flesh or produce weight gain in emaciated patients. It was also prescribed for a broad range of ailments, from apathy to poor digestion. Thus we see that chocolate is more than a beverage, more than a confession, and more than the sum of its interesting phytochemicals. Chocolate is history, Gravetti said from the Department of Nutrition at the University of California, Davis. Most of the new research was sponsored by chocolate maker Mars, which said it was encouraged by the early results. Additional research is needed to further assess the potential cardiovascular health benefits of chocolate, Mars Group Research Manager Harald Schmidt said. Chocolate consumption in the United States lags far behind that in some other countries. Industry figures for 1999 show that Americans eat 12 pounds of the substance a year, compared with up to 35 pounds for Europeans. That is the end of Section 4. You will have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the lesson test.